Good morning. The reading this morning is taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. And what does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and the craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of he who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. That is the word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and attitudes of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. A few weeks ago, we launched our church mission statement, Connecting with Jesus, Making Him Known. We've been looking at what this means, which we believe can be summarised into four values. And so far, we've looked at the values of reaching out with Christian love and compassion and leading people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, if you've missed our launch talk or either of the talks on those two values, you can listen to them under the media section on our church website. Now, today we're looking at our third value, encouraging and guiding believers to mature in their faith. Now, spiritual maturity comes in a lot of different packages. Rick Warren, who's author of the book The Purpose-Driven Life, he's the pastor of Saddleback Community Church in California. It's a very large church with some 20,000 members attending multiple services. But numbers alone is not the only thing for which Saddleback is known. That church has high expectations of its members. Members are expected to do more than just attend. They're expected to grow as disciples and use their spiritual gifts in service. And that's stated in the covenant new members sign when they join that fellowship. This is what Rick Warren, the pastor of that vibrant, growing church, has to say about encouraging and guiding believers to mature in their faith. The truth is that it takes a variety of experiences with God to produce true spiritual maturity. In addition to Bible study, it takes worship experiences, ministry experiences, fellowship experiences, and evangelism experiences. In other words, spiritual growth occurs by participating in all five purposes of the church. Where did Rick Warren get such an idea? Well, of course, from the Bible. Ephesians 4:11-16. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We mature in our faith as we play our part, as we are equipped for service, encouraging and guiding believers to mature in their faith. We see a church where every member is passionate and generous in giving their time, energy, and money. 3 Sundays ago, if you were here in CSK, you would have been given one of these forms. It doesn't show up very clearly there, but it's called a Getting to Know You form. One of the points from our first value statement was about every person finding their place and playing their part. So thank you to the people who have completed your forms, showing your willingness to serve and play your part. I know that many of you have filled forms in previously and are already playing your parts. Thank you. Now, if you haven't yet filled a form in, please can I encourage you to pray about what your response should be and complete one of these forms. If you haven't received a form, there's some available on Chime's counter at the end of the service. Now, to become a member of this church, all you need to do is fill in one of our electoral roll forms stating that you live in the parish of Hampton or you've been worshipping here for 6 months if you live outside Hampton. Simple as that. You sign the form and then you're a member of this church. Member of the family here. It's so simple. You've got no hoops to jump through. Members of the 20,000 church Saddleback in California, and I know that there are churches here in Peterborough who also have similar membership rules, not only have to sign a form to become members, they have to commit to giving 10% of their income to the church, they have to commit to serving the church in some practical way, and if they don't commit to doing that, then they can't become a member. Now, I don't think that the membership rules of the Church of England will ever be anything like that of Saddleback's, and nor do I think that they should be. However, if we as individuals and a church want to mature in our faith, I do believe that we each need to examine ourselves and our commitment. Time is something that we all have. So we all need to ask ourselves this question. Am I passionate and generous in giving my time, my energy, and my money? Now, I truly believe that all we have is from God. That all we have as a church and all we have as individuals is from God. And that's why as a church, we give away at least 10% of what we're given. We give to 3 charities. One local, one national, one international. We're giving £4,315 to be split between Hope into Action, Care for the Family, and to this family, this charity that we're going to see a film clip about now.
Mothers around the world want to be able to take their babies to health clinics for checkups and vaccinations. Here in the UK, there is a clinic in every town and most villages. Unlike northern Tanzania, where mothers often have to walk for several hours across desolate scrubland. Once a month, these remote villages are served by teams of nurses from Haydom Lutheran Hospital, flown in by MAF. Over 3 days, essential vaccines and health checks will be provided to around 1,200 babies and 300 expectant mothers in 6 different villages. According to pilot Kirstein Combrink, what we're doing here is a more sustaining work, helping people have a better life and having a lasting impact on the survival of children by getting vaccines out to the people. Join us in praying for mothers and babies in remote communities, every one of whom is precious to God. Pray for safe flights for our pilots and the dedicated teams of doctors and nurses who spend days at a time in the bush dispensing healthcare. Pray that God's kingdom will be extended as people's physical needs are met.
Kirstein was the pilot in that clip. He's married to Millie and they have one son and second baby on the way. Now Rachel, our pioneer curate, she knows this family, which is why they've been brought to our attention. They've been serving God in Tanzania for 7 years, taking medical supplies and the love of Jesus to remote areas of the African bush. They receive a small stipend from Mission Aviation Fellowship, and other than that, they rely on funds from donations, which is why we've decided to support them with a donation from our church. So as a church, we're trying to be passionate and generous. In addition to that giving, we give generously through food bank. For example, I think it was 9 families we fed last Thursday evening. I, as vicar, also have a discretionary fund that I can give away to people who are in need. Generous giving of time, energy, and money is an example of maturing in faith. I remember clearly when, as a family, we started giving generously of our income to the church. It was an incredible step of faith for us, because before we started giving generously, we'd also always spent all our income. It always went out. But I can honestly say that since we've given, we've never been short of money, because you can't outgive God. Now, as a church, we've stepped out in faith and applied to the Ely 2025 mission for match funding to enable us to appoint a children's and families minister and a youth minister. Now, I'm absolutely delighted to be able to share with you this morning that, pending references, this week we've appointed an absolutely first-class, amazing person who we believe God has anointed and raised up for the post of children's and families leader. Someone from Ely Diocese on the interview panel was there, and they actually wanted this person for themselves. We are a blessed church. Now, I hope to be able to let you know in the next couple of weeks who that person is. However, we don't yet have enough money coming in regularly to cover the salaries for this person and the youth worker we hope to employ. Interviews for the youth worker post take place at the end of the month. We need £1,458 per month to cover both positions, because Ely Diocese are also supporting us. And currently, thank you, church, we've received pledges of £830 a month, but we're £628 per month short of target. So are you able to give generously and support with a monthly standing order to the project? £10 a month is just £2.50 a week. £100 a month, £3.20 a day, the price of a good cup of coffee. Our children and young people are the church of today and the church of tomorrow. So please, can I ask you to consider that? There's some forms out on the counter out there that will help you find out more about it. There's an envelope out there as well if you didn't get one. But if you could prayerfully consider what your individual response might be. We have a wonderful offerings box here on our wall, and we usually have the offering bowl or plate on the table by the door. But our offering, it isn't just money. It's an offering of ourselves into God's service. There is no greater act of worship than giving God yourself. And at this church, we don't pass around a collection basket. However, for the first time today, we're going to have an offering hymn. When you're invited, if you'd like to come forward to this bowl at the front, or there's a basket on the table at the back, you could simply touch the bowl or basket as a symbol of offering yourself to God. You're welcome to put a donation of money in the basket or the bowl if you'd like to do that. You're welcome to just offer a prayer to God as we give ourselves to Him. Encouraging and guiding believers to mature in their faith, we see a church where people are trained and equipped for life and service. I know that there are Christians who state that they can grow and mature by studying the Bible alone and not being a member of any church. Church is God's idea. It's His plan. It's His plan for us to be trained and equipped together. The book of Acts tells us that the people devoted themselves to prayer and learning all about God together. They were of one accord. Disciples are trained in the word of God. Encouraging and guiding believers to mature in their faith, we see a church where learning in small groups is encouraged and meeting together is a priority. Some words from Acts. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Meeting in small groups is God's idea. Our church is growing. It's now impossible for each member to know everyone else. It's now impossible for me as your vicar to be able to pastor everyone individually. We all need fellow Christians who we can get to know as friends so we can support each other. Now, we currently have 4 small groups in CSK. Being a member of a small group isn't just about being trained and equipped together, studying God's word and learning together, praying for one another. Yes, those things are really important. Listening to a 20-minute sermon once a week isn't going to enable us to mature in our faith. We need more. Being in a small group is also about mutual love and support. It's about getting to know each other better, celebrating with one another, and supporting each other during difficult times. Let me give you just one example. Here's some of the Krispy Kreme small group. They've got that name because every first Tuesday, instead of meeting as a group in a home, they come to prayer hour here in the church and then they go to Krispy Kremes together. Here's some of the group. They'd spent an evening helping out one of the group members by clearing her garden. There's the before picture on the top left and the after picture. Mutual support. Doing life together. I'd absolutely love it if every member of CSK belonged to a small group. Maybe you couldn't attend every week, but if you're attached to a small group, you could be prayed for and get to know a smaller group of people better in the church. Here's a list you can sign. It says small groups on the top. One column has attend a group with your name and contact details, or be attached to a group, name and contact details. It will be on the Chimes counter out there. Can I encourage you, if you're a regular member of CSK, to sign up, to actually go to attend a group or be attached to a group? We want everyone to belong. Encouraging and guiding believers to mature in their faith, we see a church where individual gifts and talents are nurtured. Do you know what your gifts are? Often it's other people who recognise things in us that we perhaps haven't recognised ourselves. That's why we have the Getting to Know You forms, to encourage everyone to use your talents and your gifts that God has blessed you with. And that's why small groups are so important. As in that smaller setting, it's easy to be encouraged. It's easier for our gifts to be recognised and to be nurtured. Now, the mature Christian is identified in Scripture by a number of characteristics that, when put together, cause him or her to stand apart from the world. We're to be patient, tender-hearted, kind, forgiving, hospitable, not quarrelsome, not speaking critically of people or gossiping, not careless with our words. We shouldn't be easily angered or getting drunk. We should be willing to share and give generously. Now, of course, we don't become fully grown in our faith overnight. It takes a commitment and a desire to want to mature. And in all things, we need God's grace and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to empower us and equip us. The goal of every Christian should be to try to live a life as close as Jesus as possible, using his life and the lives of the apostles as our examples. Then we grow and mature and become who God would have us be, shining his light and love for others to see. We should be characterized by a life of love, loving God, other Christians, all people, loving even our enemies. Now, this isn't the feel-good, warm and fuzzy kind of love we feel on the inside. This is the self-sacrificing, agape love that's demonstrated by our actions. This is what it says in 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. If you take only one thing from this talk today, please know that God is good, and God is love, and God is for you. You are loved so much that Jesus went to the cross for you. He loves you that much. So, encouraging and guiding believers to mature in their faith, we see a church where every member is passionate and generous in giving their time, energy, and money. We see a church where people are trained and equipped for life and service. We see a church where learning in small groups is encouraged and meeting together is a priority. And we see a church where individual gifts and talents are nurtured. We're going to worship again in song now, singing two songs, both about offering. If you'd like to express your offering of yourself in a physical way, whether that be with money or prayer or just simply yourself and your time, then do feel free to use the bowl at the front or the basket at the table at the back during the songs or at the end of the service today. If you're able to stand, would you please stand?